Today with Claire Byrne on RTÉ Radio 1, sponsored by Sullis. Finish school and not sure what's next? Explore further education and training options at thisisfet.ie.
Today with Claire Byrne on RTÉ Radio 1.
NASA's DART spacecraft successfully slammed into a distant asteroid at hypersonic speed last night in the world's first test of a planetary defence system designed to prevent a potential doomsday meteorite collision with Earth. For this and other matters space related, I'm joined now by Frances McCarthy, Education and Outreach Officer at Blackrock Castle Observatory. But first, let's have a listen to the reaction to that successful mission from NASA's control room.
Oh my goodness. 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Oh my gosh. Oh wow.
Awaiting visual confirmation.
All right. We got it?
Waiting.
And we have impact for humanity in the name of planetary defense.
We have impact, Frances. DART hit its target. Was that what you were expecting?
I'm not sure if you've seen the pictures, but I'm glued to them. So this is a little spacecraft called DART that's entire job was go hit an asteroid. This is a pair of asteroids, a bigger one and a little one. So there's Didymos, the big one, and Didymorphos, or as NASA were calling it earlier, the Diddy Moon, which I quite like. So this little asteroid, they deliberately drove into on purpose at 22,000 kilometers an hour. So they weren't just strolling up to it to try land on it. It was a deliberate, if we hit this really fast, can we affect its orbit? Because one asteroid is going around the other, so we can see, have we changed and changed the position of it? And that we'll track with our ground-based telescopes. There's some wonderful images that are coming in from ATLAS, which is an early warning system telescope that looks at the night sky to see things that are moving, because things that are moving might be close to us. They had the best pictures of this big puffball of material from the asteroid being flung out into space. That really got me, because the DART pictures are great. They get closer, they get closer, they get closer, and then they stop transmitting because they've destroyed themselves at 22,000 kilometers an hour. But that puffball, and that's where the uncertainty is. The whole idea is, if we do push an asteroid, are we actually going to change its orbit? You don't know until you try. So this Didymos, Diddy Moon, Didymorphos, they're never going to collide with us. But if we get a couple of months or a couple of years notice about another asteroid, this is telling us whether we can do something about it.
Okay, so that puffball, does that tell you, Frances, that this was successful in changing the course,
yes,
changing the orbit of this asteroid?
We don't know about if it's changed the course yet, because a lot depends on what happens with the impact. Are you punching a marshmallow and it just rebounds a little bit? Or are you punching something hard and solid and you push it? Mm-hmm. So a lot depends on the actual material of the asteroid and how the impact was carried out. So there's a lot of unknowns and very hard to predict, because the spacecraft that was traveling didn't even get a clear view of the asteroid it was going to smash into until a couple of hours before it got into there, because it's literally that small. It's only a couple of about 100-150 meters across, so it's a very small little object that they were trying to push.
So those,
there's some really cool science.
Sorry to cut across you, there's a little delay on the line, Frances, but the sense of relief and excitement we heard there in that clip from the NASA control room, what we read from that is that they didn't really know what was going to happen.
Oh no, I mean, this is 11 million kilometres away and you're hitting something 163 metres across. You're not able to do that in real time. They weren't driving the spacecraft. They were relying on the spacecraft to orient itself and adjust its propulsion and aim at its target. So there is going to be a little bit of a, I wonder, did it actually hit or did we just miss? Given that we've managed to miss planets in the past, hitting an asteroid is excellent.
Now, I am looking at these pictures from the James Webb Telescope of Neptune. And what I can see here are comparisons between what Voyager 2 took, Hubble then, and the comparison. I mean, those, they're lovely pictures from the earlier telescopes, a big, nice, round, blue planet. But this picture from Webb is extraordinary.
It is. The visualization of the rings. I mean, when you think of rings of planets, you always think of Saturn. But all of the outer planets have rings. The ones from Neptune were only discovered confidently, we're 100% certain they were there, when the Voyager spacecraft physically went to Neptune. It's so far away, Neptune. It's the outermost large planet in the solar system. And it's only been visited by the Voyager spacecraft in 1989. So all our understanding of Neptune is really quite recent. So to have a telescope that's relatively near the Earth, and Webb is quite near, produce these phenomenal images in just its first run of imaging this planet is really spectacular.
Does it go beyond being a beautiful picture, though, Frances? Does it tell us more about Neptune?
It does. It tells us more about it. It tells us more about the heat on Neptune, which drives weather systems. So we've already known that Neptune has weather, which is unusual because it's so far from the sun. You know, what's warming it up? You know, on our planet, we get a little bit of sun and it heats up the air and the air moves around. Well, that's happening on Neptune as well. So it's giving us some real interesting information about how clouds form, the role of the sun in driving weather systems. And it's always great to think that, you know, what we know about our planet is an example of one. Understanding weather on another planet gives us much more robust understanding about actually how weather systems work.
And it also gave us an insight, too, into Neptune's moons. Again, I'm looking at another picture here, which shows me what was discovered. But you describe it to us.
Well, looking at these amazing moon pictures. So when I first studied Neptune, I hate to admit my age here, but I was in college in the 1980s. And my textbook said, we're waiting for Voyager to get to Neptune and then we'll be able to write the rest of this chapter. There was literally three lines about Neptune in my textbook that I was used when I was studying in college. And at that time, only two moons were known. One of those moons, Triton, is amazingly bright in this. If planet is a long way away, so its moon is as well. But this moon is so reflective. The light is being reflected back, and it's an incredibly bright image. So understanding this moon, which is an odd moon, it goes around backwards. It doesn't orbit Neptune in the same way that Neptune spins. And that tells us that this is an unusual object. It was probably a captured object from the outer part of the solar system. So if we can find out more about Triton, we're finding out more about these incredibly remote objects that we barely ever see, but do have unusual orbits, including this one that's led it to be a moon of a major planet. I'm a fan of Triton, and I love this image. Incredibly bright image coming through. Almost too much information for Webb to collect because it's so bright.
Now, speaking of bright and being able to see planets, people who look up into the night sky on a clear night might get a look at Jupiter.
Oh, I was all set last night. And what did we have? We had clouds. I'm not sure if the rest of the country was cloudy, but Cork was definitely cloudy. Jupiter was at opposition last night. And at opposition, it is opposite the sun. So when the sun sets, Jupiter was rising. All night long, Jupiter would be in the sky. And then when the sun is rising, Jupiter would just be setting. So it's a fabulous time to see Jupiter. I've been enjoying Jupiter the last week or so. Incredibly bright in the east as it's getting dark, and reasonably high in the south in the middle of the night. I mean, it is the largest planet in the solar system. It's not that close to us, but it is phenomenally bright because we're physically near it in space at this time of this year.
And what does it look like if you're looking up there?
Once a year.
Sorry, Frances, again, I'm cutting across you.
You might be going, is that a helicopter?
Oh.
Yeah, you might be looking at going, is that a helicopter? Because it really is brighter than anything else in the sky. A single point of light vibrant, lighting up that eastern sky as soon as it gets dark.
Frances, we'll leave it there. Frances McCarthy, Education and Outreach Officer at Blackrock Castle Observatory. Apologies for the line there. It was a little bit glitchy and there was a delay too. I know that Frances wanted to mention Space Week, which is coming up on the 4th to the 10th of October. There's plenty going on and you can have a little search online and find out about the various events. Coming up next, we'll be getting a budget update, going back to Daniel McConnell, who was with us at the start of the programme. Daniel will have the very latest for us after this.
Today with Claiborne. Listen back on the RTE Radio Player app.